We want to give them more choice rather than less choice. In fact, a lot of the processes that we do, whether it be an anchoring process that gives them more more physiological choices or beyond physiological choices, more neurological choices. So somebody gets stuck in a response where every time they get they go to meet their boss, for example, they get angry or they feel insecure. That's a stuck state. What we want to do with the processes that we're doing is give them more choice, so they have more choice in terms of the state that they're in, as well as what they're able to do with that situation as a result. So many of the processes that we do are for, actually all the processes that we do are for the purpose of increasing choice. Giving that person, taking them from that stuck state where they felt they were, where they only had one option, which was an undesired option, to giving them more options. Yeah. This is our tour de force of presuppositions and kind of lays the groundwork. If you notice, one of the ways that we're laying this out as we begin to study some of this stuff is where you start. Because beliefs, our beliefs will determine what behaviors we have available for us as we progress on to the next portion of this training. Now, our focus, as we mentioned, our beliefs determine our focus. And we took a look at the picture of the model of communication. Our focus determines our reality. Our focus determines our reality. So what you focus on in the world, remember there's 2 million bits of information out there. Our beliefs will determine our focus in terms of working with somebody one-on-one or in interpersonal communication, will determine what we look for and how we sort inside of that. And what's not immediately obvious from all of this is that our focus determines our reality. So what you focus on. For example, when you think of the dieter, what's the dieter focusing on when they're dieting?
Not eating.
They're focusing on not eating. They're focusing on food, all the things they can't eat. They're focusing on how hungry they are. Well, what results do you think you'd produce? You know? If you can get a dieter to shift to focus on how full they are, and get the dieter to start thinking about how full they are, or how great it will feel to begin exercising on a regular basis, or how great it will feel not to eat those foods, and yet to eat things that make them feel light and energetic. If you can do that, you've shifted their focus, and you'll shift the results that they produce just like that. So that's a question of focus as well. So our focus determines our the results that we produce in our reality. Now, when somebody's stuck in a problem, what are they usually focused on? Okay, and this is where we're going to start to take everything that we're just talking about. We're laying the foundation for where we're headed. But when somebody, and this is going to, we're going to start taking this and we're going to make it mean something. When somebody's focused on a problem, they're stuck on the problem. Their focus is on the problem. Now, in quantum physics, we're going to learn in a little while that the world doesn't take the shape that it does until we observe it, until we look at it. So to the extent that we measure or look at a problem, where our focus is on that problem, that's our problem. That's everything. That's what our reality is. But there's other realities out there other than just the problem that somebody thinks that they're in, or the problem state that they think that they're in. And we're going to begin to look at how can we actually change our focus. Now, there's many different ways that we can change our focus. We can change our focus linearly and sequentially, as in when we change a strategy. We can also change our focus in a way which is nonlinear and non-sequential, such as when we do a parts integration. We're going to talk about all of these. These are just one example of how we might change our focus. But linear and sequential change of focus would be like changing a strategy, for instance. Now, I'd like to share with you another way that we can change our focus as we begin to progress into taking a look at the world from a new perspective. And the state that I'd like to share with you is a state that I oftentimes teach to children that complain that they have learning disabilities. The state is called the expanded awareness of the learning state. Some of you are familiar with this. And we're going to look at it from a new perspective. Okay, so the learning state is one way to change our focus. What I'd like everybody to do, if you would, is to just find a spot somewhere on the wall above eye level. So just go ahead and find a spot somewhere on the wall above eye level. And I want you to pour every scrap of your attention, every scrap of your awareness on that spot on the wall above eye level. Every scrap of your attention and every scrap of your awareness on that spot on the wall above eye level. And as you pour every scrap of your attention, every scrap of your awareness on that spot, I want you to notice that within a matter of moments, your awareness can begin to expand outward into the peripheral. Just notice that within a matter of moments, your awareness can begin to expand outward into the peripheral. and that you can begin to take in the side walls. And your awareness can expand all the way, almost as if it was expanding all the way behind you. So that while you're looking at the spot, you can notice the side walls, you can notice maybe the wall charts on the side walls or the window shades on the other. And I'd like you to continue to wrap your focus and your awareness around you, almost so much so that you could see behind you. And now, what I'd like you to do is shift every ounce of your awareness and your focus to the peripheral part of your vision. So that you're still looking at that spot on the wall, yet every ounce of your awareness, every ounce of your attention is in the peripheral part of your vision. Every ounce of your attention and every ounce of your awareness is in the peripheral part of your vision. Yet you're still looking at the spot. And keeping every ounce of your attention and every ounce of your awareness in the peripheral, what I'd like you to do now is just go ahead and bring your eyes down to the instructor or something in front here, yet still remain in peripheral vision or expanded awareness. This is what we call expanded awareness. And stay in that expanded awareness. Now, the expanded awareness could be a good state to remain in for the rest of the training. And just remain in expanded awareness. The expanded awareness state was used by the samurai at one time. It's a state that allows us to become centered and calm while simultaneously being much more aware of everything that's happening around us. That's what we call expanded awareness. Now, expanded awareness is one way of changing our focus very rapidly. Very rapidly. Now, let's chat about this state for a moment. What happens when you go into this state of expanded awareness? What happens to your focus specifically? It's broader. Yeah. What else?
I think you just become more tuned into your surroundings and everything that's going on.
Yes. So you become more tuned into your surroundings and everything that's going on. Absolutely. It's a wonderful state. By the way, children with learning disabilities, this is a great state to teach them. Because children have been labeled ADD or ADHD, is just an inability to go into trance at will. And this is a waking sort of a trance. It's bringing yourself outside yourself and putting yourself in external. So what the difference between what we call downtime in NLP and uptime awareness. So this is an expanded awareness, uptime awareness. But let me ask you a question. When you've got, for example, when you've got all of your attention and your awareness just on the spot above eye level, that's called foveal vision or tunnel vision. Some people call that tunnel vision. Okay, when you've just got it on the spot, then you're focused in on what? The problem. Yeah, if it was a problem. Let's say if the spot was a problem, you'd call that focused in on the problem. We could call that content from an NLP perspective. We could call that the content of the problem or content. Okay, let's just say that was the content. The spot was the content. If you're in expanded awareness and you've got all of your focus and all of your awareness in the peripheral part of your vision or the expanded or out here on the sides, what would you be focused on then? Context. Now, our focus, as we mentioned, our beliefs determine our focus. And we took a look at the picture of the model of communication. Our focus determines our reality. Our focus determines our reality. So what you focus on in the world, remember there's 2 million bits of information out there. Our beliefs will determine our focus in terms of working with somebody one-on-one or in interpersonal communication, will determine what we look for and how we sort inside of that. And what's not immediately obvious from all of this is that our focus determines our reality. So what you focus on. For example, when you think of the dieter, what's the dieter focusing on when they're dieting? They're focusing on not eating. They're focusing on food, all the things they can't eat. They're focusing on how hungry they are. Well, what results do you think you'd produce? You know, if you can get a dieter to shift to focus on how full they are, like get the dieter to start thinking about how full they are or how great it will feel to begin exercising on a regular basis or how great it will feel not to eat those foods, and yet to eat things that make them feel light and energetic. If you can do that, you've shifted their focus and you'll shift the results that they produce just like that. So that's a question of focus as well. So our focus determines the results that we produce in our reality. Now, when somebody's stuck in a problem, what are they usually focused on?